Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hebrews chapter 1 says in verse 1, God, who at various times and in different ways in time past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, somebody say we're living in the last days. We are in the last days. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice that here it's talking about Jesus, and it's telling us that in times past, mainly here referring to the Old Testament, God spoke in various different ways in times past, verse 1, to the fathers by the prophets. And that's who brought us the Old Testament. It was the prophets. I like to say God's the author of the word, but there are many writers, many different ones that he inspired to write the word. Holy men of God were moved upon by the Holy Spirit to write. And so it tells us here that God spoke in times past by the prophets, talking about the Old Testament, but in these last days, we can say in New Testament days, in New Testament times, because really the beginning of the New Testament was the beginning of the last days. We see that over in Acts chapter 2, where when God poured out the Holy Spirit upon the early church after Jesus had ascended into heaven and completed the work that he came to do, that the Apostle Peter stood up and he quoted from the book of Joel, and he was bringing understanding to the crowd that had gathered because of the Holy Spirit's outpouring. And he said, "This is what was written by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And so that fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, that Old Testament prophecy, came to pass with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, which was also the beginning of the church age. So that was the beginning of the last days. So we are in the last days, and we're in New Testament times. So verse 2, he says, it has in these New Testament times, we could say, spoken to us, not just by the prophets, but by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So God made the worlds through his Son, Jesus. Without him, nothing was made that was made, is what it says over in John, Gospel of John chapter 1. Nothing was made apart from Jesus. So when you think about Jesus, understand that Jesus is your creator. Are you a created being? Were you made? Yeah, and you were made how? By God through Jesus. Through Jesus. So Jesus is our creator. And this is the one in whom God is using to speak to us today. God speaks directly to the New Testament church. God speaks directly to New Testament, born again, children of God. So in times past, he spoke through the prophets, but now he speaks to us. Notice verse 2, has in these last days spoken to who? Who? Spoken to us by his Son. By his Son, who happens to be the creator of everything. That's who's speaking to us now. Now we can hear directly from God. That is something that is to be expected under the new covenant during these last days by the church. We can hear directly from God. Now that is an awesome thing. I said that is an awesome thing. The Bible says over in John chapter 6, Jesus said these words in verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Whoo, hallelujah. They, who are they? Those are the last days. Those who are part of the New Testament church. They shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, Jesus said. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Somebody say, God talks to me. Yeah, remember Jesus said over in John 10, he said that his sheep will hear his voice. So we can hear the voice of God. What does that mean? That means we don't have to wait to hear from a prophet. We don't have to wait on another human being to talk to us for us to be able to hear from God, because God himself wants to teach you. God himself wants to talk to you. God himself wants to speak to you and show you things. And we need to understand that, yes, God speaks to me. You need to have that in your own heart and mind. God speaks to me. Say that. God talks to me. I hear from God. I hear the voice of my good shepherd, and I follow him. Man, that's good news, isn't it? That is the exciting good news of the New Testament. We can hear from God. Oh, hallelujah. So if you can hear from God, then there's nothing to be confused about in life. There's no reason to have any worries or doubts, because you're not in the dark. You can hear from him, and the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of his word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. When he speaks, it lights up your insides. It lights up your mind. It lights up your world. God wants to light up your world. He wants you to see things. He wants you to know things. He wants you walking in the light. He doesn't want you walking in confusion and darkness. So thank God we can hear from God. Now this is an awesome thing. And if you turn over to chapter 2, this is how Hebrews 1 starts, the same way in Hebrews chapter 2. Notice this. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So here he's telling you again, God, the Lord, is speaking to his people. And it is an awesome thing. And he says, if the word spoken through angels by the prophets was awesome and to be feared and respected, so that you made sure you did what you heard, he's saying here, how much more? How much more now that we're hearing directly from the Lord? I mean, it was an awesome thing when God came down on Mount Sinai, out there in the wilderness, after the children of Israel had come out of Egypt being led by Moses. They were out there in the wilderness, and God comes down on the mountain in fire. And he comes on that mountain, and that whole mountain begins to shake. And there's smoke and fire like a great furnace. And God begins to speak from that mountain. And he begins to deliver to the children of Israel his commandments. That was an awesome, awesome thing. And the Bible tells us what an awesome thing that is. And the people feared. And of course, if God comes down on Mount Sinai in fire and begins to speak to you, it'd be a good idea to do what he says, don't you think? Right? It'd be a really good idea to do what he said. Well, we're laughing, but I got news for you. God, under the new covenant, doesn't come down on Mount Sinai. He comes down on you directly. He has come to live in you directly. And John the Baptist said that he would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So what does it mean to be baptized? That means to be submerged. He will submerge you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Friend, that is a whole lot greater than a mountain smoking. Smoking saints are a whole lot more intense and amazing than a smoking mountain. God wants to be upon our life just like that. And it's, friend, it's just as real. It's just as real to the people of to people who have faith. It's just as real as seeing him come down on that mountain. Faith says, God is on me. God is on me. His fire is on my life. God is in me, and God is speaking. God is speaking, and his word is shaking things up in my world. It is shaking things up in my life. We need to walk around understanding this is who we are now. We're New Testament believers baptized in God. Yeah. Baptized in God. So he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. The more earnest heed. All the more careful attention, my Bible says. I mean, if they were to pay attention, how much more should we be paying attention? If they're paying attention to God speaking to them from a mountain and through prophets, how much more should we be paying attention to God speaking to us directly? God coming and meeting with you directly. See, that's what we need to be expecting this morning. As I'm preaching the word of God, God has spoken and is speaking to you. And really, my preaching is just a confirmation of the Spirit of God speaking in your own spirit to you. That's how you know it's the truth. That's how you know it's true. Because God is speaking to you and I'm confirming what you already know. I'm bringing it to your mind. I'm bringing it to your attention. And that's what he means. He says that here, chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs, wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Notice that. Confirmed to us by those who heard him. Have you heard him? See, even what we're reading in the Word of God is a confirmation of what we've already heard in our spirit from him. That's what a revelation is. You get in the Word of God and also you go, oh, man, something just lights up to you in the Word. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's that it's his Word bringing light or lighting up what you have already heard in your spirit. See, because God has spoken to us, and now as we get in the Word of God, we see it. It confirms it to us. God's Word, which is written by the apostles and the prophets, is confirming what God has been already saying to us. And then there'll be people here say, you know, and this happens all the time. After, oh, man, it's exactly what God was showing me this week. You know, what I was preaching. Man, what you were preaching, Pastor. Man, I was just getting that this week. I was just studying it this week. God was just showing me this, that, and so forth. This week, I was getting the same thing. I know. If we're listening, God's talking. And really, when we come together, we should be like, oh, he really is talking. And get the confirmation. Get the confirmation. The revelation of what God is saying to us. So that's what the word is. You get over there in the word of God, it's confirming God speaking to us. And you need that confirmation. In fact, that word there in the Greek, confirmed to us by those who heard him, that word confirmed there, it means make sure. Make sure. It makes what you're hearing from God sure to you. Makes it sure to you. And you also need God's word, and you need a church, and you need a pastor to make sure that what you're hearing is in line with God. Because there are people that think they're hearing from God, but it's another spirit. It's the voice of a stranger. And there's too many Christians that have gone off following the voice of a stranger, following the voice of wrong spirits. That's why you need the word of God, and you need the local church, so that it confirms that what we're hearing is of God or not. We need to make sure that we're on course with God. If you don't know the word, then there's going to be a lot of things that God will be saying to you, and you won't even recognize it. And there'll be things that the devil will be saying to you, and you won't be able to differentiate between God talking to you and the devil talking to you. So that's why you got to renew your mind with the word of God. That's why we have to hear the preaching of the word of God. We need to be taught the word of God, but it's only teaching us what the Holy Spirit's already teaching us. In fact, over here in John, 1 John chapter 2, in verse 19, talking about those that are of an antichrist spirit, yet in the church. It says, they went out, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides where? Not on Mount Sinai. Not with the prophets. It abides where? In you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide or remain or continue in him. So say, I have an anointing. We have an anointing that is teaching us. That's the Spirit of God. Remember, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. So the anointing is the Holy Spirit. He has come down upon us. He abides in us, and he is the one teaching us so that we know all things. We know all things. The Lord gave me a revelation one time when I was looking to get some answers about some things. And I said, Lord, I need to know about such and such. And then this word came to me, and it was, do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. And then I finished it when I need to know it. Do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. See, you have an anointing that teaches you, and you know what? All things that you need to know when you need to know it. So say that with me. Say, I know all things that I need to know when I need to know it. Now, that'll drive out fear. Because how much of the anxiety that people deal with is with the unknown, with not knowing? I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know about this. I don't know. I don't know. And that's what creates anxiety. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. Am I doing the right thing? I don't know. Should I have done that? I don't know. I don't know. Stop saying that. You're contradicting Scripture. Running around saying, I don't know, is contradicting Scripture. A lot of times, Jean will come up to me. She'll say, what about this, that, next thing? And I say, I'll get back to you on that. Instead of saying, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Well, what do you think? Well, let's see. We'll wait until we get there. But anything's better than, I don't know. Oh, I don't know anything. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you know everything. You know all things. You know everything you need to know when you need to know it. Glory to God. Now let's go back here, chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels. Now, if you hold that and look back at chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, God who at various times and in various ways spoken times past to the fathers, that's the children of Israel, the fathers, by the prophets. So notice chapter 1 says God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But here it says in chapter 2, verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels, again, talking about the same word, the word that was given to the children of Israel, the word that was given under the old covenant, if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast. So here we got God speaking to the fathers by the prophets and through angels. But notice the difference. By the prophets, through angels. And I did a little study there and found out that it is two different words there. Sometimes translators, they'll say instead of by, they'll say through, but it's really the same word. But there are actually two different words here that are used. So it's to the fathers by the prophets, through the angels, or through the angels by the prophets. So angels were the ones that were coming and giving many times the prophets what to say to the people. They were coming with God's word. It was coming through angels and being given to the prophets to give to the children of Israel, to the people. So angels were very much involved under the old covenant, and they still are very much involved in our lives today. Now God's word comes to us from God and is confirmed by those who heard, which would be the apostles who wrote the word of God. It's the word of God from the apostles and prophets is confirmed to us through them, but also angels confirm God's word. Angels, prophets, apostles, preachers, confirm God's word. We can confirm God's word to one another. This is so important to understand. We got to understand that the word that people give to us, prophetic words, I heard from God. We got to make sure that it confirms what God is speaking to us and isn't just something completely out of left field like we've never heard that before. And you might never have actually been consciously aware of it before. But when they say it, light comes. Light comes. And that's one of the things God will do through prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, is God will light up things in us that God was saying, but we weren't getting it. We didn't know it. We weren't looking in that direction. We weren't listening. And now it's being spoken to us, and something lights up when we hear the word. If somebody comes up to you and begins to say things to you and says it's from the Lord, but there's like no light to it, there's no revelation to it, and it's just, wow, you know, just maybe impressive to your mind. But it's not bearing witness with your spirit. It's not confirming anything in your own heart. Then you need to just take it and say, well, I'll pray about it and lay it on the shelf. Too many people have heard prophetic words or have gotten a word from somebody and that was it. Just because somebody said it to them, someone with some authority said it to them, they believe it and they run off with it. But it's got to agree with what God is saying in your own spirit. You don't just put confidence in people. You've got to listen to your own heart. You've got to have confidence that God speaks to you. Because I've had people come to me and say things to me, and I thought, that's not what he said to me. That's not what he said to me. a great prophet of God, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, back years back, like in the 50s, when this big healing revival had broken out, and there were all kinds of evangelists that were purchasing these big tents, and they were having these big crusades in these tents. And so, of course, Brother Hagin had a tremendous healing anointing on his life, and he was told specifically by God to stay in the churches, you know, not have a tent and have these kind of crusades. I want you to minister in the churches. So he had received that word from God, but then he started going to different churches, and he said just about every church he would go to, somebody would stand up and prophesy and say, "Thus saith the Lord, you're to have a tent, and your tent's to be bigger than everybody else's tent. You're to have the biggest tent, and these big healing crusades." Well, he knew that's not what God had said to him. Yet, he was getting that word in just about every city he was going to. Somebody was standing up and speaking those things. Now, you could look and say, "Well, I mean, they said it here, and they said it here. In fact, I was at the red light, and somebody rolled down the window and said, 'You're supposed to have a tent.'" That didn't actually happen. We're looking and say, "Well, it's very spectacular. All these voices and all these people say, surely it's God." That's not how you determine whether it's God or not. Not by how many times or how many different people are saying the same thing to you. You got to come back to your own spirit. You got to know that you hear from God. God will speak to you. And you can know what's right. You could check it out on the inside and say, "No, that's not right. No, that's not right." Now you got to make sure "no, you're not right" agrees with the scriptures. Because there's been plenty of people that says, "No, Pastor, that's not right to me." Imagine that. "No, that's not right." And then they begin to go in a direction that is totally in violation of the scriptures. And I go to them and say, "Well, let me help you." And I give them like 10 to 20 things that they're violating in the scriptures, saying, "No, now what you're doing couldn't be God, because God doesn't work that way. See, let me show you. God doesn't do this. That's dishonorable. God is not a dishonorable God. He's never going to lead us to do something dishonorable." No, that's fear-based. See, God's never going to lead us to do something fear-based. And I show them scripture, and I take them through it to show them that what you're getting, you're not hearing from God. That's a wrong spirit. That's a religious demon. You're hearing from a wrong spirit here. No, "I've heard from God." You can't help people like that. See, we got to make sure that we are going back to the Word and getting what we're getting confirmed from the Word of God. We got to make sure. Because again, confirmed means make sure. We got to make sure. We got to make sure we're hearing from God. Can you say amen? So we got to be sticklers for the Word. Got to love God's Word. Got to teach yourself God's Word. Listen to God's Word, because God's talking to you. And it's important you're hearing Him and hearing Him correctly so that you can do what He's leading you to do. We don't want to get to heaven and find out God was telling us all kinds of stuff and we were completely ignoring Him. Right? And He was even sending confirmation. So-and-so got up and said something. Then somebody else said something and God was confirming. You know, for example, back when I was in Bible school, I was going to Bible school in the morning, and then I would have lunch, and I had to come back and do some extra Bible classes in the afternoon. And so I was getting a lot of the Word. Then I'd work in the evenings. Well, on Wednesday evenings, they had church. The Bible school also had a church, and so they'd have church services on Wednesday evening. Well, those Wednesday night services, I don't know, I just didn't feel like I got a whole lot out of them. I mean, I was getting a lot of stuff out of all these Bible classes I was going, but I wasn't getting a whole lot out of church, and I went to church on Sunday, so I thought, you know, I'm in the Word all week long. I'm sitting under teachers all week long. I'm not going to go on Wednesday night. Instead, I'm just going to take that time to study the Word of God for myself. So that's what I decided to do. I'm going to study the Word of God for myself. That I'd already decided that in my heart. So that afternoon, somebody comes to me and says, "Hey, you going to church tonight?" I said, "No, I'm just going to get in the Word for myself tonight at home, study the Word." I was excited about doing it, you know. It wasn't like I was just going to go do something fleshy and carnal. I mean, I was going to study the Word. I was going to do something spiritual. Surely it can't be wrong with that. Well, and next thing you know, before somebody else comes and he says, "Hey, you going to church tonight?" And I had like a few different people come up to me, ask me if I was going to church tonight. And meanwhile, nobody ever asked me if I'm going to church. But this day, everybody's asked me if I want to go to church, if I'm going to church tonight. So you see, it was God sending them. They were hearing from God to ask me that question to try to light something up on the inside of me. Because God wanted me to be in the Wednesday night service. That was his will. Whether I thought I received a lot or not, whether I thought I would get more studying on my own or not, his will for me was Wednesday night service. That was his will. But I had shoved that down and had made a decision that I'm not going to Wednesday night, I'm going to study the word at home. So he sent in people to try to light it up on the inside of me. Well, finally, I get home, I get all set up, I take out all my different things. I didn't have a computer with all the different Bible programs in it, so I had my Bibles, all different translations and dictionaries. I had all my stuff laid out on this big table. I was ready to dig in, man. I was just ready to have a feast in God's word. I sat down, and I had this ugh on the inside of me. Just like, something's not right. You think, what in the world could be wrong? I'm sitting here in the word of God. So I just prayed. I said, God, I don't know if I'm missing it anywhere or not. I said, but if I am, please, don't let me miss it. I want to be in your perfect will. So I just thank you that you will keep me in your perfect will. And in the name of Jesus, amen. All right, now I'm going to get in the word here. So I start getting in the word, and about 5 minutes or so goes by, and the phone rings. So I pick up the phone, and I say, hello, and there's no answer. Nobody's there. And then finally, I say, hello, because I can tell someone's there. And this woman says, who are you? She doesn't even say hello. She says, who are you? So I'm thinking, this is weird. So I said, Steve, who are you? And she goes, do I know you? Because the way I said Steve, I guess, you know, I was just kind of being sarcastic. I figured it was the wrong number. That's why I said, Steve. So she said, do I know you? I said, I don't know. Who are you? She said, why aren't you in church tonight? I said, what? She said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. She goes, oh, praise God. She said, well, the Lord wants you to know you're supposed to be in church tonight. Bye. I said, wait, hold on. I said, how do you know that? She said, well, she said, I was sitting here praying, and she said this phone number came up. And then I heard the Lord speak to me and say, call him and tell him he's supposed to be at church. She said, so I guess the Lord, you know, wants you to be in church. Goodbye. I said, wait, hold on. I said, I was trying to get more information out of her. And she said, well, do you have a church on Wednesday night? I said, yeah, we have church on Wednesday night at our church. She said, well, praise God. Well, that's where you're supposed to be. I said, well, why? What do you think? She said, I don't know. She said, the Lord must have something really special for you, because she had no idea. She's just doing what he told her to do. I said, well, give me your number. I said, I'm going to go. I'll call you. I'll let you know what happened. She said, well, I'll call you back and check on you. I said, okay, great, thanks. I hung up the phone like, wow, God, now I completely forgot about what I just prayed. I forgot, I just finished saying, Lord, if I'm missing it somewhere, show me. I mean, that's how far Wednesday night services were out of my mind. I did not think I was supposed to be at church on Wednesday night. So I'm running, I'm like, Lord, what do you got? What's going to go on? And then I start thinking, man, somebody's going to come up to me. They're going to hand me keys to their car. Charlie's got a Corvette, brand new, probably going to hand me the keys to that. Something's going to happen, you know? The prophet's going to come over to me. He's going to speak this incredible word. What's going to happen? So I finally get all dressed, everything happens, and I get to the church. Lord, where am I supposed to sit? Where do you want me to sit? So I want to make sure I'm at the right next to the person that's going to prophesy. I'm looking around. So finally, I just guess. So I just got into a seat there, sat down. Whole service goes by. It was typical Wednesday night service. It was nice. I'm looking. I'm like, what's going to happen? Nothing happens. I'm looking at the preacher. He's not really looking at me. I'm waiting for a connection there, nothing. So whole service goes by. He dismisses. People are leaving. I'm standing there at my chair. I'm waiting. I see the prophet getting ready to leave. I thought, well, maybe he needs a little help. So I kind of walked up towards him, stood in his path where he was going. He kind of dodged me, got around me. And next thing I know, they're turning out the lights. Now I start getting upset. I walked out. I went, got in my car. I said, Lord, I said, I know that was you. I know you wanted me to be here tonight. And I was just all upset about it. I said, why didn't anything happen? And then I got quiet as I was driving home. And he reminded me of the prayer you prayed. He brought my attention back to that prayer that I had asked him if I'm missing anywhere to show me. And I said, oh, you just want me to be in church on Wednesday nights. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. Thank you so much for showing that to me. Amen. Went home, and that woman called me that night. And I said to her, yes. I said, when I was praying, I said, I was asking the Lord, you know, before you had called, and I explained it to her. And she said, yes. She said, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you have for him? And the Lord spoke to her. It's not what he's thinking. It's what he said to her. But wasn't God good? Yeah. Somebody says, boy, if God tells me to come on Wednesday night, I'll be there. He just did. See, don't miss God. Listen to your heart. Well, I go on Sunday. I can't call it. Listen to your heart. See, we don't want to be thick-headed. See, we don't want to be all dogmatic about what we're going to do. Get our mind up so that we become blind to what the Spirit of God's saying to us. See, he was saying that to me all along. Then he was trying to confirm it to me, sending people. And then finally confirmed to me through this woman who prophesied, told me I was supposed to be there. Thank God, he got my attention. And I got there, learned a great lesson from it. But I wonder how much people are just going on doing their thing, and I'm busy, and this is what I got going on, and I got people to see and places to go, and we're not listening to God. And he said, we need to give all the more earnest heed. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. Friend, I got news for you. We've been given a whole lot more than the children of Israel were given under the old covenant. We've been given a whole lot more. And God expected them to do what the prophet told them to do. He expected that. How much more should we be expected to do what he's telling us to do? He's speaking to our heart. We need to hear from him. We need to be listening. We need to give all the more earnest heed or pay all the more careful attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. A lot of times we think, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. God says, pay attention. Pay attention. God, speak to me. Pay attention. See, getting God to speak to you isn't the issue. You paying attention. That's the issue. We don't have to try to get God to speak to us. We need to get ourselves in a position where we are listening for him. Where we're not just presumptuously running into things or doing things the way we've always done it. We're listening. We're listening. We're listening. We're paying attention because we know God speaks to me. If God's speaking to me, then I want to make sure I hear it. If somebody very important had a very important message for you, you wouldn't want to miss it, would you? A lot of times, people treat the TV the way they should be treating God's voice. Shh! Loud the thing up! I'm trying to hear the TV! You're talking trash! That's what they're talking most of the time. Come on! It's all fantasy and fake! I want to hear it! Quiet! Watch the way people watch TV. People just get mesmerized. Don't want to miss a drop. Don't want to miss a drop. Friend, God is being broadcasted now. Listen. God's talking in you. God will speak to you. God will direct you today. If you really believe God will speak to you today, then you would what? Yeah. We could be listening. We'd be really looking for it, wouldn't we? We'd be looking for it. But a lot of times we're not looking for it, but we need to. I said we need to because that's our answer. God talking to us is our answer to everything in life. Come on. We're not going to make presumptuous decisions anymore, just making decisions out of our head. God will speak to us. God will direct us. He'll show us what to do and what not to do, how to do it, the way to do it, the whole thing. But we got to listen to him. I said we got to listen to him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So say, God speaks to me and confirms what he's saying. Now, again, just like we're not to be directed by prophets, we're not to be directed by angels either. Galatians chapter 1, hold your place in Hebrews. Galatians chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Notice that. If we or an angel from heaven. So angels still can preach some things. He says, but just make sure it's in line with what you're already hearing. What God is speaking to you. There are whole religions out there that are built on experiences that the leaders of those religions have had. There's people that have said an angel came and spoke to them, gave them all kinds of revelation. Revelation that was in addition to the Bible. Or revelation that replaces much of the Bible. Paul the Apostle said, if an angel comes and says something to you, or a prophet comes, or somebody says something to you, they say they're a believer in Christ, and they come and say something to you that's contrary to the scriptures, let them be accursed. Which means if an angel was to appear to you and tell you something, you're not to be all that impressed. How many of you would be pretty impressed if an angel came and spoke to you? Huh? Yeah. But what's more impressive, the Lord speaking to you or an angel speaking to you? The Lord who created the angels or the angels? See, we got to watch. We got to understand, I hear from the Lord. So an angel comes, and I got to go, all right, it's cool. It's cool. Seeing an angel is pretty cool. But I hear from the Lord, and that's the coolest. Huh? That's the coolest. That's the highest. I hear directly from the Lord. So if an angel comes and says something to me, then I don't have to be so impressed that I just run off and believe it. Because I'm already impressed that the Lord speaks to me, which is much higher than an angel speaking to me. So even if an angel came and appeared to us and said something to us, you have to say, huh, well, where's that in the Word? Show me that in the Scripture. Confirm that to me in the Scriptures. Give me some confirmation of that. Or somebody comes that looks like Jesus. How many people have seen Jesus? Well, nobody here raised their hand. That means you wouldn't know what he looked like if he appeared to you. So just because somebody in a glistening robe appears to you and has a beard, that doesn't mean it's Jesus. It could be Muhammad. Just saying. We don't know who it is, right? Because you don't know what Jesus looks like. We got to make sure. This is God. How do we know it's God? Listen. And look to the Word of God. Listen to your own heart and go back to the Word of God. Always confirming things with God's Word. Can you say amen? Thank God. Isn't that awesome that we have an audience with God? That he listens to us, we can communicate to him, and he communicates to us. This is an awesome, awesome thing that we have. Now, coming back here to Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, having become, talking about Jesus, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? So in other words, he has never referred to an angel as a son, according to this scripture here. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. He's speaking to us of the superiority of Jesus, that he is greater than anyone. He is the creator of all things, and he is much higher than the angels. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? The answer is none. He has never said that to an angel, sit at my right hand. He never did that. But to his son he did. You got to understand, this is very important. There's cults out there that put Jesus on the same level as an angel. Are you hearing me? They put Jesus on the same level as an angel. And they say, well, Lucifer was Jesus' brother. Well, you're a liar. That is a doctrine of demons that contradicts the scriptures. Who are these angels? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So angels minister for us. Not just to us, but for us. They serve us. Why? Because just like the Son of God, Jesus, is over angels, you and I, who are now in Jesus, are also over the angels. Angels are not higher than you. Again, you have an audience with God. Right? You hear directly from him. He has cut out the middlemen. God speaks right to you. You are his children. You are children of God. And so you are given a place as children of God that is higher than the angels. You have a higher place than the angels. So we don't need to be worshiping angels, looking up to angels. We need to understand they're ministering spirits that minister for us. They minister for us. Angels are not sons. And here's another thing to understand. All human beings are not children of God. Well, we're all God's children. Have you ever heard that before? No, we're not. We're not all children of God. Who are the children of God? John chapter 1, verse 12 tells you. It says, but as many as received him, received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. See, we weren't always children of God. But through faith in him, he's given us the right to become children of God. Not everybody's a child of God. Now, everybody's been created by God, but not everybody is born of God. You and I, through faith in Jesus, are born of God. So we are in a higher place than most human beings. We're in a higher place than most of the people that we meet every day. Yeah, it's true. But not knowing that, many Christians who have been made, have become children of God, they're over here acting just like everybody else that aren't children of God. They're acting just like people who are just the children of men, children of other human beings. You are not, you and I are not just children of other human beings. You and I are children of God. Angels are not children of God. They don't have that place. Most of the people in the world, because they're not saved, they've never been born again, they haven't come to faith in Jesus, they are not children of God. But you, through faith in Him, are the children of God. Hallelujah. That's why He speaks directly to you. We have an awesome place in the creation. You've got to understand, you send your child to public school. How many people went to public school? You've been taught. You evolved from sea goo. Right? You've been taught that you evolved from sea goo. And from the goo, it went to the zoo. And from the zoo, we have you. But that's not reality. That's what they're teaching. And they're teaching it like they have conviction about them. Like this is reality. These are the facts. It isn't the facts. Not only are we created of God, but we've been born again, born of God. Not everybody has been born of God. Everybody's been created by God. Angels have been created by God. But not everybody has been born of God. But you and I are born of God. And we have been made to sit together with Jesus in the heavenly places until He makes our enemies our footstool. All those enemies are under our feet. Glory be to God. You and I are to rule and reign in life. You and I have dominion. We're just not ordinary people. That's why the Apostle Paul, in talking to the church at Corinth in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, third chapter, he says in verse 3, "For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Like mere men. In other words, you're not supposed to be like mere men, because you're not the offspring of men. You're the offspring of God. You're not just children of men. You're children of God. Now, you go back in the Word of God. In fact, just go with me to Luke chapter 3 real quick. Luke, the third chapter, verse 23. "Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthai. The son of Heli, the son of Matthai, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janna, the son of Joseph, the son of Matithiah, the son of Emmaus, the son of Em, the son of Islai, the son of Nagai." Okay, and it goes on. And it just keeps going down. Verse 31 talks about the son of David. Verse 32, the son of Jesse. Jesse was David's dad. It starts with Jesus. And then Joseph, and it just keeps going all the way down, gets down there to verse 34, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Rehu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Calvin, and it just keeps going to verse 36, the son of Calvin, the son of Arvex, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Nobody else after Adam is referred to as a son of God. It's all from that point on the sons of men or the children of men. Psalm 14 verse 2, it says, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." Notice they're not referred to as children of God. They're referred to as what? Children of men. Psalm 33. It says, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men." And Psalm 66:5, "God is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men." So that's why the apostle said, you're not to be acting like mere men. You're not mere men anymore. Why? Because you've been born again. Adam was the son of God, but after he sinned and fell, his seed was contaminated, and now no longer were people considered sons of God. They were now the children of men. Children of men. Until Jesus came, the second son of God. Jesus came. And now through faith in him, our sins are washed away. We're born again. And now we are sons of God. Think about that. Under the whole covenant, nobody was a son of God. Adam was, and then Jesus. Now, there's some scriptures in the Word where it does call some people sons of God. Over in Job chapter 1, for example. Job chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." Now this is under the old covenant, and here it's talking about sons of God. Very interesting. Then if you go back to Genesis chapter 6 in verse 4, right before the flood of Noah, the Bible says that there were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So here we see, again, sons of God. But yet, after Adam fell, there were no sons of God until Jesus. And then Jesus, through the new birth, enables us under the new covenant to be sons of God. So then who are these sons of God? Well, many have concluded that they're angels. Many teach that Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, is angels manifesting and having relations with the daughters of men, and then children were being born. And these children became these supernatural, superhuman creatures. Have you ever heard that before? All right. But you know that can't be true. Because we just read, to which of the angels has he ever said, "You are my son"? Never has he ever referred to an angel as a son. So you can't come back here and say, these sons of God that came into the daughters of men, well, they're angels. That's impossible. That would go against Hebrews chapter 1. They're not angels. So then who are they? I'll tell you. You want to know who they are? You want to know who they are? They are sons of God. But they're not sons of God that were born after the fall of Adam. Because all the children that were born after the fall of Adam are considered and referred to as the children of men. Because mankind is now separated from God. They were not children of God. The sons of God here are those that were born to Adam and Eve before they fell into sin. See, a lot of times we read the Word and we just think, okay, Adam and Eve, they had Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Then there was Seth, and that was basically it. And we go from there. But you got to understand, there were children being born to them before they fell into sin. That's why God said to them, after they sinned, he said to the woman, "I will greatly multiply your conception." And he said, now when you give birth, it's going to be painful. There's going to be pain involved in it because of sin that has entered in. But he says, "I'll multiply your conception." If she had never conceived before, how many people know 5 times 0 is? You can't multiply nothing. Right? She had to be conceiving for God to say, "I will greatly multiply your conception now after you have fallen into sin." They were having children. Besides that, Cain, remember after he sinned, he said, "Wherever I go, you know, if people see me, they'll kill me." And God set a mark on Cain that nobody would mess with him. Who are the people that would kill him? These mighty, mighty sons of God that were here on the earth. But as time went on, they began to fall, like their father Adam, began to fall into sin and began to become contaminated, began to have relationships with the daughters of sinful men. And then the seed got defiled and they were all wiped out in the flood as well. A little history this morning. We need to know where we've come from. We need to understand our place in creation and who we are in Christ Jesus. These are the basic things that we need to have a hold of if you and I are going to walk as we're supposed to walk in life, which is to walk in victory. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So we are sons of God. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be like those sons of God and be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Right? We're going to keep ourselves holy. We're going to walk with God, grow up as heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, walk in the authority of the name of Jesus. Angels are ready to help us, serve us, do what we ask them to do. And God is speaking. God is directing. God is talking to us because you and I are now children of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.